and Portland has been very good to me. I really love Oregon. I love Portland.
From the COIN Podcast Network studios in Portland, Oregon, this is Six Questions with Emily Burris and Ian Costello.
What's going on? You've had a busy week.
Yeah, one could say that I've had a busy week. And it's just the beginning of the fun. Spent the first night in the new place last night, so that was fun. Got, you know, just enough to unpack a little bit before the contractors come in and rip it apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned to you before that moving is one of my least favorite things in the world to do.
Yeah.
Strong dislike. Thumbs down emoji.
Strong dislike. That's fair. I mean, as a former military kid, I've moved many, many times in my life. It is always stressful. The actual process of moving, like when you do a cross-country drive or stuff like that, that can be fun. Mm-hmm. But the packing and the unpacking and the getting situated in a new place, that in and of itself, it's always stressful. And I've never had to add on a renovation, a home renovation in all of that. So I can imagine it's a lot.
I was saying yesterday, late yesterday, as the four of us were sitting around on the couches, every move has one day, no matter how much you plan and you think you got everything in place, every move has just one day where you end up like, I mean, your hair's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
I was at Home Depot 8 times yesterday.
Oh, no. The employees were probably like, are you okay?
Yeah, I got a welcome back once when I walked in. I was like, I have been here too much.
They probably see that. More than you'd think, that frazzled look of someone who is slowly working their way through a project.
And slowly descending into some sort of just catatonic confusion where I look, you know, the first time through the door, I'm smiling and I know where I'm going. And by the sixth or seventh time, it's just I look defeated and just kind of wandered around.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what would be a good reward for you either throughout the process of moving or when you finally feel like things are slowing down?
Donuts.
You saw where I was going with that.
And segue.
I bring it up because A, because it's always a good time for a donut. B, because when people are listening to this on Friday, it's National Donut Day.
There's very few days that I'd be that fired up about. I like a good donut and I like a good donut day.
Yeah, me too. I love donuts. They've always been a guilty pleasure for me. As a kid, we used to go, okay, so we lived in this really, really small town in Southern California where we didn't have a Krispy Kreme. I have these vivid childhood memories. We would drive an hour and a half away to Lancaster Palmdale, which was the nearest civilization, which gives you an idea of what part of SoCal we were out in. We would drive to go to Costco and get like a month's worth of groceries at Costco. It was a family ordeal. So the four of us, my parents, my brother and I were all loaded up in the car. We would go through Costco, which God bless my parents for dealing with both a car ride and a Costco shopping trip with two young children in the same day. And after that, if we behaved ourselves, the reward for that day was to stop at the Krispy Kreme before we drove back home and the hot and ready light would be on. You'd see that neon sign. I have these memories of pressing my face and my hands up against the glass, you know, and sliding along there and watching all these donuts going through the fryer and getting the glaze. And Krispy Kreme donuts are one of my favorites to this day. I'm never going to turn down a donut, right? Like even gas station donut. If someone offers me a donut, I'm going to eat the donut.
What was your first donut in Portland?
Oh, that's a tough question. First donut that I had when I moved to Portland, I think it was Blue Star.
Wow.
Because I'd heard about these gourmet donuts that I needed to try. I'd had Voodoo Donuts in Orlando because they have them at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. So I'd already heard of Voodoo and I felt like I'd already tried them and gotten to, you know, check that out. And yeah, Blue Star was my first. What was yours?
Voodoo, March 2010.
I love that that's such a memory for you. You can remember your first Portland donut. I remember hearing about, you know, Portland having this like donut rep before I moved here. And then once I got here, I'm like, oh, okay, the hype is real. Like we have a lot of good donut shops. They're all great. And I love that this is a thing that we enjoy.
You kind of associate Portland with donuts or donuts with Portland. When you get into your conversation, I'll let you toss to it here in a minute, but when you're talking to Katie and she starts running through the donut shops in town, I was like, oh my God, we have got a lot of donut shops that exist either solely in Portland or got their start in Portland. I think it's a well-deserved moniker, kind of the Donut City USA.
I would agree with that. And yeah, so this week's conversation, when I realized that Friday, June 4th is National Donut Day, I'm like, well, obviously, Portland being known for so many donuts, we need to talk about donuts in this week's podcast. So I sat down with Katie Pope. She is among the ranks of donut royalty here in the city. She has launched over 30 culinary ventures in Portland. She's been part of things like Boxer Ramen and Little Big Burger and some really notable restaurants. But Blue Star really has become her baby. She set out to make donuts in a different way and really, I think, gets to take credit for starting the luxury donut trend, the gourmet donuts, yes. The donuts just really done well. I mean, it's interesting, though. I had assumed that she was coming to this from a culinary background, but not so. She actually kind of came into the culinary scene just as someone who really appreciates food and the community of sharing a meal with people. And she's really got this background in business and she's an entrepreneur and she went to school for psychology and has all these other skill sets. And I think that's probably in part why she has been able to be so successful in whatever ventures she starts out in. I mean, she's been named to Portland Business Journal's 40 Under 40, Oregon's Most Admired Company. Blue Star got that nod. She's gotten several awards for Entrepreneur of the Year. She's just got this spirit and it's fun that for someone who, you know, has tried so many different things and done well at so many different things, Blue Star for her is just really her baby. First off, let's just kind of jump into that. CEO and founder of Blue Star Donuts, but you have been behind several different ventures here in Portland's food scene that have become quite recognizable, both in the Rose City and honestly, even around the country. I mean, you've been behind some other fun stuff like Little Big Burger and Boxer Ramen. And so how did you kind of get into the food scene and the culinary world?
I mean, honestly, I kind of fell into it. I feel a little bit like an outsider. I'm not a chef. I am very interested on the business side of things. And I studied neurological psychology in school and was kind of on a very different career track.
Oh, wow.
But then I took a really pivotal trip around the world. I went backpacking around the world for a year just to kind of like get out there and see what is going on. And I it is a major like paradigm shift for me and what I wanted to do. And I realized, you know, how good I have it, frankly, in the States, you know, being a woman. And I really wanted to come back to Portland and start a business and do something to give back to my community and make a mark, so to speak. And so I came back from that trip and enrolled in business school to get an MBA, was kind of pursuing that, and then sort of realized like, well, this isn't really teaching me how to own a business. It's kind of grooming people for Fortune 500 companies. Around that time, it was 2008, 2009, and I met my first business partner, Micah, who was a chef and had opened some Portland restaurants, but it was 2008, 2009, right?
Yeah.
The economy had tanked. We were in a crisis. And people, I would say, especially in Portland, the foodie, quote unquote, revolution had happened. People in Portland had developed a very healthy appreciation for high quality food and locally sourced food. But now we need it at an affordable price, right? People couldn't spend 50, 60 bucks out ahead anymore. And so we came up with this idea, you know, what if we make a gourmet burger, but shrink it so it's kind of like a slider size. And that way it's more affordable. So instead of like a $15 burger, it's like a $3 burger. And just really kind of focus on doing that and build a concept around that. And so a lot of my background from psychology came into the work. So I did a lot of reading up and studying on consumer behavior psychology, design psychology, and applied a lot of that research that's out there to the Little Big Burger model. And again, it was 2008, 2009. Couldn't get a loan, couldn't get investors to save our life.
Yeah.
Restaurants, they're already a very risky type of business to be in.
Uh-huh.
I had a little bit of money left. My parents, unfortunately, passed away when I was younger and had a little bit of money saved from that. And so kind of like that, the farm on the first concept, the first Little Big Burger opened
in
December 2010. And luckily it was a hit. I mean, it resonated with people. That concept of just being really kind of laser focused on doing one thing, doing it really well, consistently, and making it affordable, high quality, but affordable. That really seemed to strike a note with customers. And, you know, at that point, 2010, the economy is starting to recover. And kind of similar to today, you know, landlords were desperate to get tenants back into buildings to start bringing life back into neighborhoods. And so they were, now that we had a proven concept, they were more willing to extend tenant improvement allowance to help us fund construction, to help expand that concept. So that concept, Little Big Burger, did really well. And then we thought, like, well, let's take this model of just focusing on one thing and doing it really well. Let's try out other approaches to that. So Boxer Ramen, kind of the same thing, where you just laser focus on doing one thing really, really well. Son of a Biscuit was a fried chicken concept, and that one unfortunately didn't work out for a lot of reasons. Learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
And Blue Star Donuts was another concept kind of born out of that mantra of just focusing on doing one thing really, really well. And Blue Star opened in December 2012, and I was really surprised by the customer response. It really kind of took my breath away. And I thought, you know, this is something very special, and I want to make sure that it gets nurtured and looked after properly. So I ended up selling my interest in all my other concepts to just focus on Blue Star full time. And here we are.
What was it about Blue Star or donuts or gourmet donuts? You know, what was it that really kind of stuck with you more than some of these other culinary ventures?
That's interesting. Blue Star was inspired by my first trip to France. I had never been before, and I was very much blown away by the quality of bread and pastry. I mean, in the States, we have a huge country and a ton of people to feed, and a lot of our pastry and bread making has been mechanized. It's industrialized. We go to the grocery store, we buy a loaf of bread, and it's got a 2-week shelf life. And in France, you know, there's these mom and pop bread shops, pastry shops that have generations of recipes, and it's a very, very different kind of quality and craft and approach to bread making, to pastry. And just going into these pastry shops, they look like jewelry stores. There's like beautiful lighting and gold leaf plates. And you can tell that they want to emphasize the care and the craft that goes into this product.
Yeah.
And it was my first time having brioche.
Ooh.
Brioche is, it's a type of bread. It's basically like if a loaf of bread swallowed a stick of butter. Really delicious, buttery bread. And you know, thought like, well, what if we make a raised yeast donut out of brioche? Nobody's done that I know of. And that will be kind of like the cornerstone to this gourmet donut concept. You know, at the time in 2012, there weren't really these other gourmet donut shops around. And it just seemed kind of extravagant and very risky to try something like that. And so we thought, you know, well, Portland has this great culture of, we have such great support for our local farms and produce, and there's all these artisans and craft makers. And so what if we create this donut concept, a gourmet donut concept that incorporates all these wonderful elements of the Pacific Northwest, that collaborates with all these other wonderful craft makers and artisans? And wouldn't that be cool? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? And it was just honestly kind of like a frivolous one-off, you know, like, let's just do it, see if it works. It'll just be fun, you know?
Yeah.
And then we opened, and, you know, it was very different from the maybe traditional donut shop that people are used to and expected to see. So some people were, you know, disappointed, like, why don't you have sprinkles? And what kind of donut shop doesn't have crullers or, you know, whatever?
Uh-huh.
Some people loved it. They just really got what we and the word spread kind of like fire. And I remember we got mailed this international package, and somebody had mailed us this magazine, a Japanese magazine that we were featured in, because apparently we had all of these and this culinary magazine that we weren't even aware of. And
it
this is really, this is something, there's something special happening here, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I mean, you know, as we chat here on National Donut Day, I think it's hard to understate the role that Blue Star has had in Portland's donut culture, right? I mean, like you said, it became a globally recognized donut shop, and it's like a must see place, you know, for people who are trying to come. And I mean, the city has donut tours, right? Like, that should tell you something about how much, yes, you know, yes, Portland loves its donuts and fun treats and is known for doing things differently. The concept of the gourmet donut, I just think it's so fun. How has it evolved over time, or has it stayed really kind of true to what you started with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And now I think what's really cool is now we're seeing, I think almost every major city has a gourmet donut concept. And it's cool to see that taking off, and that those are all little unique gems in their regions. And yeah, I just think that's really neat. And something that's unique about Portland to me is we do have so many different donut concepts. I mean, there's everything from, you know, sesame and delicious donuts to cocoa to, you know, voodoo to donut queen to Sills. I mean, everybody's doing their own thing, and it's very unique, and everybody is, you know, very proud of what they do. And we have all this diversity in the local donut scene to the point where we have donut tours. Like, who would ever thought that was
right?
Whatever, I think that would be a thing. And the other thing that's very unique about Portland is how supportive and collaborative it is. And I don't think that that is something you find in very many other places, but Portland has a culture.
Yeah, because I mean, there are so many donut shops. I was curious. I'm like, is there a donut rivalry? Are you all going to donut war?
I would be lying if I said it was not good for business, but you know, everybody kind of recognizes that, ooh, the rivalry, you know, donut versus donut, it's all hype. It's fun. I just think it's fun to encourage people to try different things. You know, we've never tried to be everything to everyone, but neither have these other shops. And again, that's kind of like embracing what makes Portland so different and unique, is that everybody is doing their own thing and they're not trying to be everything to everyone. They've got their own jam going on. And I think that's really cool. And the other thing about Portland is, like, you can reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, how did you all figure it out? And people are so generous with their time and their wisdom and their experience. They are willing to sit down with you over coffee and just, you know, chat with you about their experience of what it was like for them. And I think that that's something very special to Portland.
Well, speaking about like what makes Portland special, I know you're from California originally, right?
Originally, yes.
Yeah. What drew you to the Rose City?
Honestly, it was, as I mentioned before, you know, my parents passed away when I was younger, and I think I was looking to strike out somewhere else where people, you know, weren't so familiar with my story. And I just kind of wanted to go do my own thing without kind of that, I don't know, cloud of pity around or whatever. And so it was nice to be in get a fresh start in a fresh city. And I visited Portland on a trip and fell in love with it. And Portland has been very good to me. I really love Oregon. I love Portland. I married a native. My husband Sam grew up in Aurora. So
yeah,
I moved a lot of my family up here, and I'm doing my best to get back to it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I know, you know, Portland is one of many places that has had a really tough year over the last year and a half. I found it interesting. I was, I'm doing a little research for this podcast today, and I was reading some stuff just over the past year, and I came across an article. PDX Eater had interviewed you. It was about this time last year. It was June of 2020 when we were really starting to feel, I think, the biggest squeeze of the pandemic. And you know, you had remarked to them that the independent restaurant industry is hanging by a thread. You know, over this past year, we saw, unfortunately, Blue Star having to, you know, make the decision. You guys made the decision to close down several of your storefronts. I mean, how has this past year been for you guys?
I mean, for me, I would say a lot of other restaurant owners, it's been traumatizing. I think the restaurant industry is one of the industries that took a lot of the brunt of just government, you know, restrictions and closures, and it's been really, really tough. And it's, of course, because, you know, the majority of the business is interfacing with the public. And what we do in the hospitality industry is we take care of people. That's why we do this at the end of the day, is because it's how we express our care and love. This is how we take care of our community, is through hospitality. And, you know, now all of a sudden we're in this very unpredictable environment with all these restrictions. And number one priority is making sure that the staff feel safe and comfortable and protected. And, you know, sometimes that means customers have to go through some extra steps, and everybody is already stressed out and afraid. And it was really challenging. Business models that worked perfectly pre-pandemic are not working in the throes of the pandemic. So how does everybody pivot, right? That was the word of 2020.
Oh boy, was it. Yeah.
That hot pivot going. Yeah. Uh-huh. And also just trying to work out from a financial standpoint, you know, if your revenue has been choked down to just take out, that's not sustainable for most restaurants. And so how do you navigate this new financial situation? And yeah, it was very difficult for us. It was very stressful. We're in a great position now, thankfully. And and this National Donut Day, I'm mostly just incredibly grateful to still have a business. And that's just, I'm so, so thankful. And for everybody that's helped us, for all of our fans, all of our customers, our vendors that have been there supporting us every step of the way, I'm so grateful that we still have a business. I still have jobs for my staff. And it's just the best thing that I could have asked for.
Yeah. Have you been able to bring back on any staff, or I don't know how many of your staff members had to, you know, shuffle around or unfortunately, you know, stop working as some of the store closures happened? I mean, have you been able to bring a lot of people back?
Yeah, it was a lot to navigate. And what happens with our particular business is the model that we had pre-pandemic, Booster 1.0, I mean, kind of got blown up. And we, as part of our pivot, we developed a brand new product, our donut bites, that are now in grocery stores and over, I think, 30 grocery stores at this point. And that's a very different type of process and product. So as we rebuilt the company into Blue Star 2.0, a lot of different skills are needed, different jobs. And a lot of our previous staff were able to find other jobs. You know, so we try and bring back as many folks as we can. And we have got this great core group of our kitchen people, of our leadership, of our front of house. And it's been really nice to have this community of people that really like have been through this incredible experience together to build the future.
Yeah. I know our listeners are maybe not going to be able to tell, but I can just see it on your face as you talk about this, just the emotion that has gone into the last year for you. I mean, and I think that shows through in the brand too, in Blue Star as a business, and in the pride you take in your product, in the pride you take as an entity within the city of Portland. I mean, it does seem like a labor of love, and I can tell that there have been a lot of tough decisions here lately.
Yeah, we have a saying, you know, internally, like it's just donuts, because sometimes it's the restaurant world. Things are fast and furious, and every day there are, you know, figurative fires and literal fires to put out.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's not just donuts. It's more than that. And you're right. We do care very much about what we do. We enjoy it, and at the end of the day, we get to make people happy, and that's the best job I can think of, is being able to bring, you know, momentary happiness that brings people together, you know, over a common shared food experience. That's our way of putting our joy into the world to help make the world a little bit of a better place. And just the dramatic difference. It's kind of night and day where we were last year to where we are this year. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm just very, very grateful to be here.
Yeah. I mean, last year we were also kind of at the height of a lot of the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of the racial justice protests that we saw all around the country. I know that was something that you were outspoken about as well. I think that's something that brands certainly had to figure out how to navigate last year, more so than really any point in time, it seems like, especially with like independent or locally owned businesses to have to really kind of step up and have a voice in some of these things where we haven't always seen that in the business culture previously. Yeah. Was that important for you?
You know, for us as a company, we've always tried to not be political, right? Leave politics at the door. This is about coming together. This is about a shared experience, not divisive politics. But as we saw with all of the racial and social justice movement, it's not politics, it's human rights. And that's the difference. And so, you know, that to me is, that's black and white. This isn't a gray political area. And this is something we have always 100% been supportive of. I tend to err on the cautious side of, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a, what do you call it? I don't want to signal things. You know, I don't like to post things for vanity's sake, but behind the scenes, we've been very active for all of our years in supporting the community in the ways that we can. Mm-hmm. And it became clear that we need to be a little bit more visible about that. You know, it's not just performative. We do these great things, and we need to be a little bit more outspoken about what we are doing and why it's so important to us. And I think that, brands had to learn how to navigate this quickly, and they should. They need to. It's past time. And people want to know, you know, the brands that they care about and that they like, where do they stand on human rights issues? And so I just think it's not going away, and it shouldn't.
Yeah.
And people are paying attention, and they should. And so that's for the business to figure out. I get that, like, at the end of the day, it's a business, and, you know, you got to keep things in the black, but you got to get your values right too.
Right. I mean, I think for consumers, it's kind of a continuation of over the last few years, people have wanted to know more about where products are coming from or where their food is coming from. They want to know a company's story. And this is kind of the next step of it too, is, am I supporting things that I agree with? So it is becoming important, I think, to a lot of people, certainly to people in Portland, it seems like, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, just the whole supply chain got blown up this past year. Yeah. And I think that that has put people in a position to think a little bit more carefully about their suppliers, about their vendors, about their partnerships, and do our values align with the people that we're partnering with and that whole supply chain. It's an important conversation. I'm glad it's happening in a very public way.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're talking about the craziest things ever done to donuts and the new old favorite flavors returning to Blue Star's lineup this spring.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.
The Coin6 weather team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by WeatherRate. Coin6 Weather, watching out for you.
Well, I want to get back to some fun talk about donuts, not to make a real weird pivot here or anything, but because it is National Donut Day, I was thinking about donuts. I personally am a huge fan. I have to tell you, the first year, I moved here in 2018, And for my birthday in 2019, I decided, I'm like, I don't really want a birthday cake this year. I went to Blue Star and I got a dozen, dozen donuts. Awesome. In lieu of a cake. I was like, I'm going gourmet donuts. Yeah, it was. It was my treat yourself. And I did. I had to treat myself over the course of several days because it's impossible. It's impossible to have more than like two of those donuts at a time.
That you kept it all to yourself too.
Right. Yeah.
Emily's like, all right, I've got like 3 days. This is all for me.
Pretty much. I shared them with my boyfriend and it was still, it was quite a feat to get through that box, but they were all so good. I was having so much fun just enjoying all of them. But I'm curious, what is kind of the craziest thing you've ever seen done with a donut? Like I've seen them made into burger buns. Of course, we've seen all kinds of crazy toppings and things like that. What's the limit of donut creativity, if there is one?
I've seen kind of the whole range, right? It's sort of like, what's your definition of crazy? And there's everything from, you know, voodoo obviously kind of has a handle on the wacky aspect, and then you can get into, you know, donut eating contests, you can get into crazy ingredients, and let's see, we've had a couple really interesting wacky flavors. We did a fried chicken donut.
Ooh.
It was a home brined fried chicken and top of a fresh OG donut, and it was drizzled with a spicy honey butter. That was pretty incredible. I do like this trend of starting to incorporate more alcohol and liquor into donuts, mm-hmm. not just for, you know, flashy sake, but from the culinary perspective, how it can complement the profile of it. And one of our most popular donuts is the Contro creme brulee.
Oh, that might be my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, the homemade vanilla bean custard, and then it's bruleed on top when it's got a pipette of Contro, which is orange liqueur. And so you can actually, you know, inject that into the custard. You can drizzle it on top. You can, you know, take a little shot of it. We also did a CBD custard donut a couple years ago, and that was coinciding with the launch of the Farm Bill, so legalizing CBD farming and consumer products. And Chef Stephanie made, it was a French dark chocolate custard infused with CBD powder, and then it was coated in a crushed hazelnut powder.
Yeah.
And actually, Senator Wyden and Congressman Blumenauer were there for the debut of it because they had co-sponsored the Farm Bill. And so that was really cool. That's been a popular, very popular flavor.
Yeah, sounds like it. I know I always go back to like...
Yeah, still, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I always go back to just like, I'm such a classic. Like I love an original glazed Krispy Kreme. I love just the classic old fashioned that you guys do too. It's when it's done right. It's just so good. But I appreciate all the limits of donut exploration that we as a society have accomplished in recent years. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had to pick a restaurant, like outside of any of the restaurants you've been involved in, if you had to pick a favorite Portland restaurant, where would you go?
I mean, I guess it depends for what, but one of my standbys is Nong's Khao Ban Gai. Mm. And I'm such a big fan of Nong. I used to go to her food cart, you know, when she was just a cart, and then she expanded to brick and mortars, and she does kind of the same thing. Like, it's very focused. She does one thing really, really well. It's that high poached chicken on rice with this spicy Khao Ban Gai sauce. And then she has a tofu peanut that I'm absolutely in love with. You know, that is definitely one of my standbys. And if it's, you know, like a special occasion type situation, I'm going to go to Le Pigeon. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, one of the very awesome standby. I mean, Gabe's just done an amazing thing with that place. So.
Yeah, both good picks for sure. I know Nong's, that was one that it's one of those things you're trying to describe it to someone who's never been here or never, you know, never had it. And it's like, well, yeah, I know it doesn't sound like a lot necessarily, but you have to try it. Yeah. You have to try it. And then once you try it, you get it. So definitely that's a good pick. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned you backpacked around the world. So I know you like to enjoy yourself outdoors. Do you have a favorite place to go hiking or camping or backpacking in the Pacific Northwest?
Oh gosh, I have done quite a lot throughout the years. Right now I'm going through a disc golf phase. And oh, nice. There's so many great courses in Oregon. It's kind of amazing. I was just at Shampooey Park State Park the past weekend, and they've got a great disc golf course. So between disc golf and the coast, I really like going out to the coast as well, just to kind of have a day of walking. We have such a great coast, and I just love exploring and checking out all the little breweries and pubs and whatnot. There's so much diversity. We're, again, very, very blessed in Oregon.
We are. I think that's one of my favorite ways to explore is through the restaurants and breweries and wineries that I want to see in any given area.
Right.
I plan my travels through Oregon. Yeah, exactly. Eat your way through. What's been like the most exciting thing you've discovered in this area? What's something that you maybe didn't necessarily know you would enjoy so much about living here?
Sounds a little bit cliche, but the roses everywhere. I grew up in Fresno, Clovis, and, not a lot of natural foliage. It's a little dry out there. And I think just, I was blown away by how green it is. I feel like you can just throw seeds on the ground and they start exploding. Gross. And the roses all over the place, again, just springing from the sidewalk or in people's yards or, along the freeways. Yeah, I think that's something that's very special and unique. The scent and the color, it's so vibrant. And it's something that I've always really appreciated.
Yeah, especially this time of year, it does feel kind of magical in the city when there's just blooms everywhere.
Yeah.
That is very neat. Well, hopefully that is some inspiration for people either today or this weekend to get outside, go grab a donut.
Or your favorite local restaurant. They've had a year, man.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
Go grab a bite, enjoy, stop and smell the roses, and just know that things are finally looking up. It sure feels like, anyway.
It does. It feels like the mojo is going in the right direction, and everyone's ready to have a great summer.
Yeah. Well, Katie, this has been an awesome chat. I really enjoyed spending time with you today.
Absolutely.
And happy National Donut Day.
National Donut Day.
Are you celebrating with any certain flavor?
Oh, actually, we've got a couple good ones. So, just due to limited production, we haven't been able to make a lot of our standbys, but we're bringing back the cult classic, the lemon toffee buttermilk. It's going to be on the menu for a limited time. The Valrhona chocolate crunch. So it's that vanilla custard dipped in French dark chocolate with the crunchy Valrhona pearls and the strawberry sakura. We did a partnership. Some of our fans in Japan reached out to us. There's this great band called Pink, and they just released their new record, and one of the tracks on there is called Donut Mind If I Do. And so we brought back one of our Japanese-inspired flavors. It's a strawberry sakura. Sakura is a cherry blossom. It's got a very particular kind of floral taste to it.
Nice.
So it's, and a little bit of gold dust mixed in to the glaze. So it's a strawberry sakura glaze on a vanilla cake donut with a fresh strawberry on top. And it is chef's kiss. I mean, it's colorful, beautiful. It tastes like strawberry shortcake. It's amazing.
That sounds fantastic. I think I found what I'm going to need to celebrate National Donut Day.
Yeah, and I highly recommend pre-ordering too, just because things will be a little fast and furious on National Donut Day.
Definitely. Well, thank you again. It's been great to chat with you, and hope things go well today and definitely for the rest of this year.
Yes, thanks so much, Emily. I appreciate it.
Their lemon poppy seed, that probably ranks up there as one of my favorite all-time donuts.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I have a hard time picking a favorite. It's funny. I was just in Denver. I took a little vacation over the Memorial Day weekend and went to visit some friends. And they were all excited to show me this really cool donut shop in Denver that, puts a little pipette of booze in your donut and you could do the boozy donut. And I was like, well, this is really cool. And I'm not knocking Denver's donuts, but I was having this years ago at Blue Star. And they were like, what? I think they felt a little deflated that, you know, their cool donuts were, you know, old news to me.
This is so 2018.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Portland did that first, you know, which I'm sure was very annoying to hear. But from their little creme brulee donuts to all these like fresh berry flavors and seasonal stuff, it really is hard to pick a favorite.
How are you going to celebrate National Donut Day?
Oh, man. I've already had donuts on the show. That's a frequent newsroom staple, donuts. But I might have to go out and get a couple more. If not on National Donut Day this weekend, you know, Krispy Kreme is giving free donuts away to anyone who has been vaccinated for COVID. I have yet to take advantage of that deal. So I think I might need to go get myself my little original glazed from Krispy Kreme and definitely going to get a Blue Star. How about you?
I think I'm just going to eat a lot of donuts and do it early. Eat a lot of donuts, have a post-Thanksgiving nap, and then see where the rest of my Friday takes me. I have a feeling it will be packing boxes and moving.
Well, that's good packing fuel. You need the energy.
Right. I'll burn those carbs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you will.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Ian. Good luck with the move and enjoy the donuts.